I've raised 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. And in the process of raising 7 grandchildren, helping. Every one of us here this afternoon are building our homes. Every one of us are building our homes. Homes don't all of a sudden just become homes. They don't all of a sudden just become homes. Homes are built. Is that what he just told us in the book of Proverbs? Homes are built. And I wish I would have taken these verses to heart 38 years ago. And because we have failed with our own children, is no reason for us to fail with our grandchildren. I have failed in a lot of respects. I have made a lot of mistakes in building my home. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to make those same mistakes with my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And I believe if you'll be wise this afternoon, you'll let wisdom build your home. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out 7 pillars. And you will build your home on these 7 pillars. I believe that our homes are being wrecked today. They're being wrecked by the influences of the world, by the indulgences of the flesh, and by the wiles of the devil. Too many are trying too many ways to build a home outside of the help and the guidance of the Lord. Listen, perfect environments do not produce godly homes. I believe applying the principles of the Word of God in the home produces godly families and godly homes. Money can buy a house, but money cannot build a home. You cannot build a godly home on money. You cannot build a godly home on material possessions. And money is one of the big gods of our day. Everybody is working their fingers to the bone to get more money. The expense of a godly home. And we must build our homes on a godly and a sure foundation of the Word of God. As we see here in Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we need to see the Lord would build the house. We need to see how He wants the house built. And that's what our message is going to be all about here this afternoon. Building a godly home on God's 7 pillars. You say, well, what is a pillar? I looked that up in the dictionary and it said, a supporter. That's good. That which sustains or upholds. That that on which some superstructure rests. I read this little story here a while back. There was a lady sitting out on her porch. She'd go out there every morning. She'd sit there. And she would watch this little bird. And this bird was building a nest in a little bush right beside her. And that bird every day would come in and put weeds and twigs and string and so on, building that nest. But that bird was building the nest too low to the ground. And so she got the nest all built. The eggs came. And then all of a sudden the birds popped up. And one day the lady was sitting there on the porch. And she saw this snake going up into this nest. And the mama bird was up on the wire. And that snake come winding up through there and ate every one of those birds. And the mama bird was on the wire, just frantically, just making all kinds of noise. What was the problem? She built her house too close to the ground. And so it is with us today. We are building our nest too low. We're building our home too close to the world. Too close to the flesh. Too close to the devil. And it isn't long, and the devil comes and destroys our homes right before our very eyes. Strong are pillars underneath your home today. Every one of us answer that question. How strong are pillars underneath your home? And I mention these seven pillars that are necessary to have a godly home. And I believe the first pillar is the Word of God. And this pillar must be the cornerstone. Is the Word of God read in your home today? Is the Word of God listened to in your home today? Is it obeyed? Word of God cherished in your home today? Look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. Notice here this afternoon that three of the four places where the Word of God is to be read is in the home. And many read more of the Word of God in church than they do in their own homes. We need to study the Word of God together as families. I believe the Word of God will bring salvation to our home. And we need to read it and teach it every day to our children, to our grandchildren. It'll also bring about sanctification in your home. It's the Word of God that tells us what we should have and what we shouldn't have in our homes. What we should allow in our homes and what we shouldn't. allow in our homes. I believe we need to reverence the Word of God more in our lives and in our homes than we ever have. How much do you love the Word of God? How much do you love the Word of God? The Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I believe that this is how that we can measure our love for the Word of God. How much of the Word of God do we apply? That's the problem today. Don't read the Bible because you feel it's a duty. Read it because you realize that it's a necessity. That you cannot live without it. And may God grant us the grace that we'll take the Word of God more seriously in our lives and in our homes. Because everything that pertains to life and godliness is found in the Word of God. It ought to be precious to us. There's no Testament scripture that says that the Word of God was precious in those days. The Word of God ought to be precious to us. Second pillar I want to mention is the church. The church. To many, their church is not important to them. The Lord's church is not important to them. Oh, the Lord has saved me. I love the Lord. But the Lord's church is not good enough for them. There's many like that today. How much do you love the Lord? How much do you love the Lord's church? Do you love it enough to be a member of it? I love the Lord. He gave His life for me. He died for me. He did the same thing for His church. He said He loved it and gave Himself for it. Do you want to die outside the Lord's church? Do you want to leave an example to your grandchildren and to your children that you were saved by the grace of God, but you wasn't a member of His church? I believe a lot of times we are very self-centered. As all we're thinking about is ourselves. We're not thinking about anybody else. We're not thinking about our families. Even though your children are married, they are still your children. Amen. Amen. And your grandchildren are your children. And you're still to be setting an example for them. If you're faithful to your church every service, you attend 100 services a year. And you can't attend that many services and it not affect you and your children in a positive way. And our children and our grandchildren ought to never have to ask, are we going to Sunday school this morning? Are we going to church tonight? Are we going to church Wednesday? My children knew when Sunday morning come around, get up, get going, get ready, because they're going to be in Sunday school. Never one time did any of my four children come to us and say, are you going to church today? Church was a very strong pillar in our home. And I believe that this pillar gives our homes fellowship. We're saved by the grace of God. We no longer have fellowship with the world and the things of the world and the places of the world. We now have fellowship with the church. The church is our fellowship. Isn't that right? Man, I can't wait till I get to church to see my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I can't wait to get together and have fellowship with them. Man, when I was lost, I couldn't wait till that last bell rang at work and get down to the corner bar. You know why I wanted to go there? Because there was fellowship there. But I'm saved by the grace of God. I want to go to church every opportunity that I have because there is fellowship there. You'll act like you're relating a little bit to this. Brother Hancock is. And so the church is our fellowship. Also gives us teaching. This is the place where the Lord intends for us to be taught. The church is His ordained teaching institution. They put all the truth. He put all of the truth in His church. And He says, now this is where I want my people to be taught. The Lord ordained that teaching institution. I believe that this is where daddy learns to be a godly daddy. This mommy learns to be a godly mommy. And this is where children learn to be godly children. This is where they are taught to honor their father and their mother. And kids, y'all look up here at me. Love your mommy and your daddy. Honor them. Respect them. Because one of these days, they're going to be moving in with you. And they're going to jump in that Intrepid, and they're going to floorboard that thing, and they're going to burn rubber for a mile. And they're going to run to that refrigerator and they're going to eat you out of house and home. They're going to go in there and turn that radio up and they're going to crank that baby up as loud as they can crank it. And you're going to try to be sleeping at 1 o'clock in the morning. That sounds good, doesn't it? You're going to take care of mom and daddy. I'm not moving in a nursing home. I'm moving in with my kids. Payday someday, Brother Jerry. But we're living in a sad day today. Ten Commandments have replaced. They've taken the Ten Commandments out of the school, but they were taken out of the home before they were taken out of the school. But they've been taken out of the school and replaced with guns and trench coat gangs and drugs. But we need to focus on our responsibilities. The fathers learn to be head of the home in the church. Mothers gains a heart for the home under the preaching of the Word of God. Isn't that right, ladies? Remember when you were lost. Now that you're saved by the grace of God, and you've heard the teaching from your pastor on what your responsibility is as a wife and as a mother. And children become the hope of their home by listening to the preaching and looking for their mates in the church. So we all need to put our lives in the Lord's church so that we can be mightily used of Him. Because He said unto Him, be glory in the church. The church is to be a very strong pillar under our homes. The third pillar is a godly husband and father. A godly husband and father loves, honors, and cherishes his wife. Ephesians 5, that's where I want to go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Now, turn to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so a godly husband and father loves, honors, and cherishes his wife. The primary responsibility of the husband is to love. The primary responsibility of the wife is submission. Thank you, Sandra. The primary responsibility of the child is obedience. Amen. Let me give this to him either. And you are to love your wife more than your children. Now, did y'all understand that? I believe that this is why some marriages break up after 20 and 25 years of marriage. You say, well, how does that happen? The parents spend their lives for their children, and when the children are gone, there are two strangers left staring at one another. That's exactly what happens. We are to honor our wives as the weaker vessels. As the weaker vessel. We are to meet her physical needs, her spiritual needs, and her financial needs. Because she is looking for financial stability. She is looking for financial security.
And churches, you better be sure you're taking care of your pastor, that your pastor might be able to provide that. Oh, me. That's right. But that's our responsibility. The fourth pillar of a godly home is a godly wife and mother. Praise God for godly mothers and godly women. And we should never underestimate the value of a godly woman. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtain favor of the Lord in Proverbs 18:22. She recognizes him as being head. She submits to him. She lives godly. She teaches her daughters to live godly. She doesn't come home from Penny's with a skirt all the way up to here and say, "This is what I'm wearing to church Sunday, Mama." No, Mama says, "Let me see it, honey." And you politely take it from her, fold it up very pretty, put it back in the bag, and say, "We're going back to Penny's."
Amen. Amen, brother.
And you all know that's right. You that are members of New Testament Baptist churches that are represented here, you know that's right. And that's what needs to be done. And this is getting worse in our churches today. And mothers and dads are allowing this. Pretty quiet. She loves her children. She teaches her children. The fifth pillar is love and charity. Love and charity. Love is inward. You know, I always thought these were the same. Charity is outward. Love cannot be seen. Charity cannot be hid. Love confesses. Charity expresses. Love is a decision. Charity is a demonstration of that decision. It is love put to action. I believe the pillar that is needed in our home today is love and charity. We need to demonstrate that love. And you cannot demonstrate that love to husband, to wife, to children, to grandchildren enough. What does this pillar bring to your home? Well, I believe one thing that it'll bring to it is security. Security. Moms loves dad. Dad loves mom. And they demonstrate that love. The kids see that love. Dads, you better teach your sons and your daughters what real godly love is. If you don't, they are going to get the wrong kind. Think about that for a minute. We need to teach them God's love, as he preached last night. Teach them how God loves. Love one another. Demonstrate that love. That charity. Church members, love one another. Demonstrate that love. And all the devils in hell cannot tear this church up. No, sir. Love one another. Demonstrate that love. Let one another know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. I had a member of my church who moved his letter here a while back, Roberto. Several of you know him. Every once in a while, he'd come up to me and hug me. And he'd plant a big one right there. And he meant it. He loved me. He demonstrated that love to me. Love your pastor. Love your pastor's wife. Let them know how much you care for them. It also brings unity to the home. It's not enough just to simply say, I love you, to your wife. She wants to see the demonstration of that love. She wants to see that charity. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that word dissimulation means? It means let love be without hypocrisy. Genuine love. True love. We love to be together. How much unity is there in individualism? Everyone doing their own thing. No family time. No family devotions. No sitting around eating at the table together. Johnny comes in, goes to the stove, fills his plate up, runs to the bedroom, turns the television on. Susie comes in, grabs her dinner, runs to the family room. Dad comes in, grabs his, goes and plops back down in his easy chair, turns the news on, turns the sports on. That's what I meant by individualism. There's no unity in it. And I believe that this is killing our homes today. Another pillar of a godly home is discipline. Is discipline. And it takes love to discipline. Somebody said, too much love and not enough discipline will create a brat. Too much discipline and not enough love will produce a rebel. But I believe that discipline must be a pillar of a godly home. And I believe that there's two types of discipline that we must practice. Number one is corporal discipline. That means bodily discipline. Kids, if you didn't know what that word corporal meant, it means physical discipline. And I believe today many have adopted the world's methods of child training. And the world's methods do not work. They do not work. And I want to give you some methods that the world uses that just don't work. Number one, time out. You know what this tells the kids? It tells your kids that life is a game. And they can do what they want until somebody calls time out. Those 17 and 18-year-old boys didn't have their mama and daddy there the other day to say, hold that, time out. And moms and dads, if you're using that method, you stand a chance of that very thing happening with your very kids that you have sitting right next to you right now.
Amen, brother.
It doesn't work. Second method is counting. One, two, three, 21, 30, 35, 48, 49, 49 and a half. You got a half. I didn't go that high the other day at my church, but there was a boy sitting in front of Scott. His wife turned around and said, Hirsch used to have to count to 50. That's sad. That doesn't work. Those mothers and dads, those kids didn't have their mother and dads to say, one, two, three. It just doesn't work. Because little Johnny knows when you get to 3 or 10 that you'll act. You try that when they're 16, 17 years old. Try that. Number three. You don't even want to hear this one, do you? Standing in the corner. They get out of that quick. I got to go to the bathroom. All right, go. But get back in here and stand in the corner. That's not even worth discussing. Listen, the discipline must deal with the heart.
Amen, brother.
Proverbs 19 and 15. Turn back here. I'm going to be going to the book of Proverbs here for a few minutes. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:15. The rod, and reproof give wisdom. The what? The rod and reproof give wisdom. You hit me with a rod and I'll I'll call the police. I'll call my counselor. I'll tell my counselor at school. Yeah, give him a quarter. You know what would have happened if I had said that to my dad? I'd have had false teeth at the age of 10. But the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Dads, did you hear that? Do you want your kids to bring her to shame? I read this, and I've read it several times, preached on it. But I never noticed that second word there, rod and reproof. Rod and reproof. You know, the rod and reproof, it takes time. And we're too busy. And we don't take the time. One of the members of my church said, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have mom give me 10 whippings as to have that reproof. To have her stand and lecture me for 30 minutes. But you know what? That's lacking. And so it's easier just to say, time out. 1, 2, 3. Go stand in the corner. That didn't take me very long, did it? Don't want to take the time. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him early. Betimes. Look at Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, because one day there is not going to be any. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Because there will come a time when you cannot. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So there's that corporal discipline. There's that physical discipline. That bodily discipline. And then there's that controlling discipline, number two. And I believe controlling discipline teaches them that they can't have everything they want. They can't have everything they want. When children are born, they have no discipline. They come into this world with sealed orders. And it's the responsibility of us mothers and dads to unseal those orders. And those orders are found in the Word of God.
Amen, brother.
They cry, they sleep, they eat. When? When they want to. Isn't that right? And if you don't train and discipline them, to have some self-control, they'll grow up and they'll do anything that their flesh wants to do. The flesh must be brought into subjection. And this includes our children. And I believe another danger of not instilling discipline in our children is that they'll grow up thinking that the world owes them something. And the world doesn't owe them one thing. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Notice verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli, the daddy, all things which I have spoken concerning his house." See, what good did that do? He's 17 years old. I'll tell you one thing it'll do. He'll never forget it. But the main reason is I did it because God told me to do it. God will bless you. God will bless you when you raise your children correctly. Amen. Didn't He bless Abraham? Turn over there. I got a minute, I believe, or two. Look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Find it here in a minute. Let us notice verse 17. And the Lord said in verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he has spoken of him." There's blessings. Let's raise our grandchildren, our children, the way that God commanded. The last one. The godly home must have the pillar of prayer. You've heard the statement that the family that prays together stays together. There's a lot of truth to that. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands in wrath without doubting." Could it be that we do not pray like we should because we cannot lift up our holy hands? Because our lives are not what they should be? Listen, moms and dads, kids, everybody. You and God make the majority. And I believe that prayer should be seen in the parents and instilled in the children. Say, "Well, they took prayer out of schools." It was taken out of the home before it was taken out of the schools. How much do you pray at home as a family? Boy, I'll tell you what, I would love to see every mom and every dad and every kid, boy, when the invitation is given, come flying down through you. Tell you what, I needed this message more than anybody here. Like I said right at the beginning of this message, I hadn't always heeded those passages of Scripture. And there's a lot of ways that I failed in raising my children.
But that shouldn't keep us from preaching it and teaching
it. Amen, brother. Amen.
But how much do you pray together? How much do you, husbands and wives, just you and your husband and wife, pray together? Just the two of you. How much time do you spend in prayer, praying for your kids? Praying for your grandchildren? Praying for one another? We don't have time, do we? We don't have time.
Right.
And our masks are being tore up to shreds right before our very eyes, and we still don't want to do anything about it. Brother Titus is straightening them out. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way we think? Have you ever wondered what you're teaching your children when you panic about every situation that comes along? Instead of going to prayer to God for them and for those situations and those things that come into our life from time to time. There wasn't a praying man living like Brother V.A. Turner. Haven't run across one yet. He'd pray everywhere. Didn't matter where he was at. He'd pray with him. He'd pray out by a hog pen. Didn't matter where he was at, he'd pray. The hogs come up there, he'd be praying, he'd grab a stick, he'd go, "Tsuh!" The old pig would take off. He'd pray. We'd go over to his house on Saturday night before Sunday morning service. We did that for every Saturday for years. I probably prayed with him as much as anybody I know of. We'd have prayer meeting every Saturday night, praying for the service Sunday. And I can remember it's just as vivid as it was the day I saw him, or the night I saw him. He'd get down on his knees, and he'd just open up his eyes, and he'd start talking to the Lord, and tears just rolling, and he would talk about Johnny. He would pray for Johnny. Oh, God, intervene in his life. Oh, God, turn him back to you. You know where Johnny's sitting today? A dedicated member of Faith Baptist Church where Brother Asbury pastors. But he prayed and he just, tears, he would walk all around the floor. All around the living room floor. On his knees. Praying to God. That's lacking. In our homes today. The other night, Brenda, she's never played a game of golf in her life. Never had a golf club in her hand, I don't believe. But our grandboy was over, and he got that golf club out. He got a couple of my golf balls. He had a basket about like this. He emptied it. Put it over there by the chair. Turned it upside sideways. He says, "Come on, Mamu. We're going to play some golf." She got up there and she... And it went way off to the left. It wasn't anywhere near that basket. She got up there and did it a couple more times. Same thing. And he was feeling sorry for her. He come over there and he grabbed her by the arm. Held on to her arm. Says, "Mamu, are you serious?" He says, "Mamu, let's pray." Boy, he bowed that head and he started praying. He was just as serious as he could. And you know, I thought about that scripture where he said you would become as little children.
Yeah.
I said, "Lord, that's exactly right. Before we enter the kingdom of heaven." And that's exactly what we need to be doing.
Amen.
He was serious. But you know what his daddy's doing? They get together at night. And they'll all get together on the couch. And he'll open up that Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll start reading scriptures. And he'll have prayer with those kids. And least little thing come up. I didn't know where I was going the other day. I was lost. Didn't know what street I was going. He said, "Papu," he said, "let's have prayer." I thought, my. Listen, prayer gives direction to our homes. Prayer gives deliverance to our homes. How are we going to know what direction to lead our homes if we're not praying? When there's problems in our home, we need to be going to the Lord. I'll guarantee you. Lord, give that baby 104 temperature, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll guarantee you're going to be doing some praying.
Amen, amen.
But why do we have to wait for those kind of things to happen before we'll humble ourselves before God and pray to God?
Amen.
Listen. Please listen to me. And I'm going to be through it just here in a minute. I believe that these pillars are cracking beneath every one of our homes right now. Have they fallen? Is your home teetering and on the brink of destruction? Maybe right now, you need to pray that the Lord will deliver your home from the destroyer. Come on.
Amen.